Bit surprising that Keefe allowed microphones into the Fortress of Solitude for the close of the game yesterday.
People were upset, Dale.
You and the lovely Mrs. Keefe
people
watching the end of the game. And
thought we had a win. Thought we were going to go out to the store, get our AFC East hat and our AFC Chiefs shirt.
Were you going to buy one?
Yeah, of course, every
year.
Maybe not. Got a whole closet full of them. Was getting ready for that, and then no.
Poor equipment staff's got to lug them all back here again. Boy. Oh, yeah, look, now we got to carry them back.
Bring them to Pittsburgh, I guess.
I guess they do.
Yeah.
Maybe Belichick will be so mad.
No. We're not getting the shirts this year.
So Bill Belichick will be on OMF he usually is on just after 3 o'clock.
Can't wait.
And oftentimes, I don't know if you've discovered this, but it's been my experience that oftentimes you can get an idea of what this appearance is going to be like based on the post-game press conference.
Correct.
The day before.
Yes.
Like, you know, if he's after you beat the Jets, he's always a happy guy.
Oh, he's
likes
love,
beating
love
the Jets.
Loving life. Yes,
you know.
That's always a great day.
So what we thought we'd do, and I know we only have a four-hour show here.
Are you sure we can do this?
We thought what we'd do is play you the entire Bill Belichick press conference from yesterday.
Okay.
Just as a preview for today's appearance with OMF and to get kind of a rough idea of how we think it's going to go later on today.
All right. Well, obviously, it's a real disappointing ending for us today. There was a lot of things we could have done better. It came down to one play, but there are a lot of things besides that. So, you know, in the end, we just got to do a better job than we did. And, you know, Miami played hard like they always do. And, you know, they just made one more play than we did.
Left a lot of points on the field there.
We missed opportunities. We just... Yeah, just got to do a better job in every area.
Coach, with Gronk on the field on that last play, you anticipate a Hail Mary? Is his job on that play is what is worth Gronk on the field?
Well, they could throw it deeper. They could run the Desperado type play, which was kind of an in-between 20-yard pass, and then it turned into Desperado.
A lot of teams work on that play all the time, as I'm sure you do too. You work on that play defensively as well all the time?
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't do a good job on it today, so we need to obviously coach it better, play it better. Yeah, a lot of points scored in the first half and not so many in the second half, but it's the National Football League.
What happened at the end of the half there? The 2-yard line, that play with the sack?
Time ran out on us. Yeah, it's obviously not what we were trying to do.
Tom was in the pocket, so he felt
like
he
could ditch it. It's obviously just what it wasn't a good play. It's not what we were trying to do. So,
looked like it was tough to run the ball. So that was a little disappointing to get the run game going.
Yeah, again, it's, you know, they're a good front. They played good on defense. We had a few opportunities. We like to make more with them, you know, have a couple runs called back, but yeah, they played it well.
Did it feel at all ominous leaving the touchdown on the field at the end, Gostkowski missing the extra point, just things that don't normally happen, you know, kind of ominous day, letting them hang around a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. Just trying to make enough plays to win, but we didn't. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Sounds like a man in need of a hug to me.
I guess so. You can't.
He sighed. He sighed.
He sighed. Yeah.
It was a big sigh.
An audible sigh. You can't say he doesn't take it seriously. You know, he's obviously seems like life or death here. But the Gronk stuff, he even admits, he goes, he could have thrown it deep or Desperado.
He can't throw it that deep.
First of all, I love the expression Desperado. I didn't know it was called that. I just thought it was as many laterals as possible.
Yeah.
Let's get nuts. Like, I didn't know there was a real name for it. So the even the idea that it could be Desperado, why would you want to stick a tight end 50 yards down the field? Makes zero sense.
It really does. Desperado seemed a lot more likely than Ryan Tannehill on one wheel being able to throw it 77 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at some of their guys, now, I mean, I guess Parker's a big guy, but it's not like Danny Amendola or Kenny Stills is going to run down there and Randy Moss somebody. I can only imagine what Rossi's doing back there. What is this?
It was sad.
This is Desperado.
Oh. Well done. Well done.
Oh, see, you were going to mock him.
No, I won't. Well,
now you've got to
take
it all back.
My instinct, because of the stupid horn that he plays all the time, my instinct is it's going to be terrible. But that was great, Rossi. That was well done.
Don't change, Keith.
That was very well played. But, yeah, I just the idea that could be, I don't know how you put him out there. I really don't. And I kind of respect Belichick for not admitting that that was a mistake and he shouldn't have done that.
No, see, I don't.
Because I'm kind of like that. I've never made a mistake.
I know you're like that. But
so, hey, if somebody else wants to never admit a mistake,
Tom Brady,
good for them.
Tom Brady, and even if I don't believe him, yeah. Tom Brady said, I screwed up. I thought we had another timeout. Well, he might have.
You lied?
But he tried to say, hey, my mistake. Yeah. I messed up.
Yeah.
I would love to have Bill Belichick say, you know what? We didn't have the right personnel on the field for the play.
He kind of digs in.
Wouldn't that be good?
It would be very against type.
That'd be different.
You would never hear it. He's just saying, oh, we got to coach it better. Yeah, if by coach it better, do you mean specifically
not put him on the field?
Leaving Devin McCourty? Why can't Devin McCourty play that final play? In fact, he would have been the best guy, I don't know if in the league, but pretty close into like a jailbreak situation. And now it's almost like you're covering a punt in a way. And so would Rob Gronkowski be on punt? And now he's going to stop one of these shifty guys and beat him to a spot? No way. Oh, that was so dumb. That was so dumb to put him out there. And this is what happens. I mean, you do something like that, doesn't always bite you, right? I mean, a play like that, it could have still been the wrong call.
And somebody makes a tackle and
if
ball game's
Jackson,
over.
Somebody tackles him at the five, you're like, woof, what a relief, but still dumb. But you do enough of these things and you know, you're eventually going to get caught. And that's what happened to them yesterday.
Back to the call, 617-779-7937. Jim's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jim.
Hi there, guys. Hey,
hi, Jim.
Frequent listener.
Awesome.
Thank you, I guess.
That's fine.
Quick question. Going forward for the Patriots now next week at Pittsburgh,
right?
What's this do for their motivation or lack of or whatever? Does it take the wind out of their sails going forward?
No, I don't think it does. I think they've had bad losses in Miami over the years, and they still find a way to go to the AFC Championship game, go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. This is it's a tough blow, and ultimately, I think it may prevent them from getting to the Super Bowl because they're not going to have home field throughout, and I think you can look at that play as the reason why. But they also always dominate Pittsburgh, almost always. They're not undefeated against them, but they almost always dominate Pittsburgh. So I think they will bounce back.
Pittsburgh's got a lot of questions. Yeah. Is Ben going to be able to play? Now, they claim he could have gone in later. Well, you sort of needed him, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Is James Conner going to be able to play now? They're saying, might be able to, might not.
Yeah, that's going to be huge if James Conner can't play. But go back to week three when they got smacked around by Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. You're like, oh, my God, what is this? How are they going to be? And they're 1-2, and after what happened in the Super Bowl, like what's going on with this team? And then they go out there and they blow out the Dolphins. So this is a team that historically doesn't usually let one loss lead into another or then really affect the season. Again, I think the home field thing, that might be a separate conversation. But as far as just what do they do against Pittsburgh, what do they do against the Bills and the Jets to end the season, I personally still think they go 3-0 to end the year, and then it's going to be up to what the other teams do to see whether or not they get the 2 seed. I mean, actually, if they win out, they will get the 2 seed. So that's what I think is going to happen.
Mark's in Brookline. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, yeah, what I found kind of interesting and frustrating about this loss, I mean, a lot of games end with, a fair amount of games end with, last minute, last play type things. But this one was so excruciating, totally bad call coaching-wise. But if you think of the combination of bad coaching decision and not playing 60 minutes of football, the team, even the coach, whatever, they didn't tackle well. They didn't play well. That is very uncharacteristic. They'll probably rebound fine. They tend to actually do very well, I think, after they have dumb losses like this. But isn't that fairly unusual for them to have not coaching till the end of the game and not playing till the end of the game? That's a pretty unusual combination that I think leads to this very unusual event.
Well, and Dale had a stat last week about how they were actually the best tackling team in the NFL. And then you watch that play, and you're like, they're the worst tackling team in the NFL.
I mean, the week before, they looked great doing it. I mean, everything was perfect. And then they follow that up a week later with that.
No, so the combination of bad tackling, bad coaching, bad decision-making by the quarterback, it's bizarre that you would get all of that to happen. And then it ends in a walk-off one-point loss to the Miami Dolphins, their playoff hopes are still alive.
Should have called a penalty, but I saw one of the Dolphins players take his helmet off in the end zone.
Is that right?
Should have taken the touchdown away, called a penalty.
They should do over.
Should throw the flag there. Yeah.
Replay first down.
All right, I don't
see if they can do it again.
I don't really care. And you're not supposed to fire that football into the stands either.
That's a fine.
Nice throw, by the way.
He can toss it.
Yeah, he looked like Ninkovich throwing the football, didn't he?
Well, like Ninkovich says. We still haven't seen that yet.
We were going to take him out on the field.
I want to get a toss going out there. Have a nice long
you and he
toss.
Have a catch?
Yeah, well, I'd love to have a catch with Ninkovich. That'd be a lot of fun.
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm happy you brought up the point, the fact that Gronk just didn't belong out there to begin with in that situation. Because it's not a Hail Mary situation, really. I mean,
no.
If it's a 45-yard line and you can throw it into the end zone, yeah, sure, I understand it. Not in that situation, and it ultimately cost them. But what I'm disagreeing with you guys on is I absolutely think they should have gone for the touchdown. If they want to run the ball three times, I can understand it. But like right off the bat, that handoff to James White that went nowhere, that was such a like just a ridiculous like nothing play. And they knew we were going to run. They got to him immediately. It was like Tom might as well have taken a knee. It was that meaningless. It was like, dude, you have 7 yards. You got three plays. Can you pound the ball into the end zone in three plays? You put Sony out there, and you get in. And if you don't, you say, oh, at least we tried. They didn't try, and that's a problem. I have a problem with that.
Well, but I think you're also and I didn't have an issue with how they handled the end of the offensive series. Obviously, I had a huge issue with the end.
Right.
You run the risk that, you know, the ball gets stripped. All you're trying to do here is protect the football. You're going to kick a field goal. You're going to increase your lead to 5 points with basically, you know, one play left for the Dolphins. You like your chances under those circumstances. In the aftermath of giving up a 69-yarder at the end, you think, oh, my God, you know, they should have gone for six. I didn't have an issue with it at the time.
I mean, they did go deep. I mean, so you think about it. So 2-minute warning happens. They go shotgun to James White, no gain. But, all right, now you force Miami to call their second timeout.
Yep.
Then you go, so it's second down on the Miami 48, and they chuck the thing. So this is not conservative at all. They chuck it deep to Josh Gordon. You get the pass interference
penalty, which was the right call.
A 41-yard penalty. And once again, that's another thing that, you know, Brandon Cooks got a lot of credit for last year, drawing pass interference. Josh Gordon now is starting to rack those up a little bit too. So then you go James White up the middle for a yard. Now Miami is out of timeouts. So there's a minute and 46 left, out of timeouts. So I think they did their job there, forced them out of timeouts. Then you go Sony Michel, no gain. Sony Michel, 2 yards. So
I didn't have an issue with it. I mean, it's easy afterwards to say, oh, they should have.
No, but
I thought a 5-point lead with one play left, you were going to be okay.
There is something wrong, or I don't know if it's wrong. Sony Michel in these goal line packages,
yep,
it's not great. It's not. And I know for the game he wasn't good either. He averaged under 3 yards a carry. I think he's had some really nice moments. I think when he kicks it outside the tackle, he can really get going. He's had some good runs. He's by no means a bust. But it is frustrating when you get down, whether it's the goal line or just a formation where, hey, we're running the ball, you know we're running the ball, but we're going to get more than a yard. He's not going to just go flying into Shaq Mason's back and then get tackled. So that is a little frustrating. They did chip away some time. Now, my question is, maybe you don't do it when you're only up by two, but any thought of going for it on fourth down?
No.
No?
No, I didn't.
Because now they have to go 95 yards.
I understand.
Okay.
I would put
probably not, put but the I points just up I was thinking that as
because
I was watching
then
it.
A field goal could theoretically beat you.
Right. But they would have to they're out of timeouts.
Yep.
So they gotta chuck it deep and then get out of bounds or chuck it deep
which you assume is about the same chances of happening as hitting a 69-yard hook and ladder and winning it on a touchdown, which is not much.
No. I mean, the percentages were not very good for Miami to find a way to win, but so many things going on. And those are all kind of quick decisions that, you know, Belichick and his coaching staff have to come up with. And those, I get, you can kind of go on either side. The Gronk playing at the end, nope, there's no way to slice that.
Got
where you're
nothing
like, oh,
for
makes
you
sense.
There. No.
I'm telling you, the dead giveaway is he was so far back and he was standing on the 15. Therefore, they're not going to throw a Hail Mary where the ball lands at the 15. What is that? That's not a Hail Mary. The Hail Mary goes into the end zone. That's just a stupid pass where the ball goes up in the air, and now you have 10 defenders all on that line. So the fact that he was standing there was a dead giveaway that it was the wrong thing to do.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Trey Flowers will be here in studio with us at the top of the hour. At 12 noon, we'll talk to James White as well. We'll bring you some of the Tom Brady appearance this morning with Mutt and Callahan, specifically talking about the timeout at the end of the first half, talking about what looked like a knee injury that scared the hell out of all of us. That's coming up about 12:30 or thereabouts. Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, they tried to hook a lateral.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Are they at the 10?
Holy
shit. Oh, my God.
Did he just score?
Gronk better run
He's
him
about
out.
To score.
Oh!
No way.
Oh, no!
Holy
You gotta be kidding me!
What?
Wow!
Now, that happened to be the crew at NBC Sports Boston, but it was also all of us. Everybody in New England was doing the exact same thing as we were watching the end of the game. It's like, are you kidding me?
Just with those plays, the longer they go on, the more, depending on what side you're, depending on who you're rooting for, like, there's the range of emotion that's happening there. You're like, that guy should have been tackled seconds ago. Still up. Oh, now a different guy has the ball. Oh, he's still up. Oh, now he's going. Oh, he's really got a good head of steam going. Oh, he's going to score.
Remember how we were mocking the football fans of Seattle as Malcolm Butler was intercepting the pass and at the goal line?
Oh, all those videos.
Oh, and all those videos.
On the ground.
Guess what? That's us now.
Yeah, this is us.
Well, this wasn't caught on video, but yesterday, producing the real post game show, highly paid gig I have.
Yeah.
Glenn, it was the last play of the game. I'm like, Glenn, you want to just go live right now? Glenn, Steve, Fred, they're all in the studio. I said, do you want to go live here? He goes, no, let's just let the last 16 seconds happen. So he's like, as soon as the pass is thrown, hit the open. So we have two opens every week. There's a Patriots win open and a Patriots loss open. And as soon as that pass thrown, we hit the Patriots win open.
Oh,
Glenn,
no.
Fred, and Steve, they didn't talk for like a few seconds. It was just dead air because they just didn't really know what just happened. So we're just kind of sitting there and then, yeah.
Well, that's not as bad as the Patriots radio network. Because Deadspin has put out the audio of the Patriots radio network going through 35 seconds of silence in the aftermath of the winning score being.
Yeah, that's a long time.
35. By the way, it's not TV,
time.
Scott. We can't see it on radio.
No idea.
You got to kind of describe some stuff to us here.
Yeah, they were both in shock is what it sounded like. The other one, and I'm trying to see if they deleted it or not, the Boston Sports Journal. You know, the Greg Bedard,
Brian Robb. Oh, I saw the tweet. Which, they might have deleted it, but let's be honest,
nope,
it lives forever.
Still up.
Oh, good.
It's still up. They wrote this. So they have a Twitter account that's just for the at Boston Sports Journal. Wasn't a Picasso on the road again, but they got the job done. 10th straight division title for the Patriots. Amazing. They left it up there.
Yikes.
What, did the
How
person,
do you tweet
did the
that
person
out?
Running the Twitter account have a stroke in the aftermath
I
of the loss?
I don't get it. I honestly don't get that one for a number of reasons.
Because they get more reaction by the fact that it's out there.
But what are they doing?
I saw Cold Takes Exposed retweeted
they had that
last
well,
night.
Well, good for them. But why would, first of all, that's not, and I like a lot of the guys that work over there. But what do you stand to gain? So you're 2 seconds early on a, hey, it wasn't a Picasso down there, but they got the division. What is that? Like, you didn't have to be the first. We're all watching the game. You don't need to be the first one to say that they just won the division. We all know they're going to win the division. This wasn't like a big scoop or anything. And then you look like an idiot. And then they left it up there. Is that better? What?
Little insider tip for the folks running the Twitter account at Boston Sports Journal.
Yeah,
what
you do is
you type the entire thing out. And then the very second the final gun sounds, hit send.
Not before.
Don't do it before.
No, you don't need to do it before. Because, oh, by the way, nobody's on Twitter while Kenyon Drake is running.
No, we're
everybody
all watching Kenyon Drake
the TV.
Running.
Yes, everybody's staring at the TV. Ah, but they were the first one that said it wasn't exactly a Picasso, which, of course, means a work of art.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah,
okay,
thank you,
of all artists,
oh, here
Picasso?
We go. Not the right one. Yeah,
no,
not the right one.
I would have said Renoir or something.
Ooh,
like somebody with
Monet.
A,
yeah, Monet, someone with Monet, a more, Tippy Tippy Day Day.
Yes, yeah, something
no,
with a more
not
like,
Monet.
Could have been anybody.
Yes, there's two. There's Monet and Monet, but with a more conventional style.
Yeah.
Because Picasso is all messed up. I'd say it was a Picasso at the end.
It kind of was. You know what? The game kind of was a Picasso.
See, that's where that Wellesley education comes in strong
point.
For us, Lucy.
So the tweet, I don't know what's the worst part about it now. Everything about it is
the fact
bad.
That it's still there.
But maybe to your point, we're talking about it. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be talking about what they said. Yeah.
They did it on purpose.
And they're kind of... Yeah, I guess
subscription-based service. They need people to talk about them, get some attention.
What's the etiquette there? Would you delete that if it was?
I wouldn't have hit send.
Well, okay, true.
But assuming I had, Well, Lucy's our social media maid.
Yeah, Lucy, what do you do there? What's the etiquette?
I think you should keep it up. What they did was they kept it up and they quote tweeted it and not corrected themselves, but updated us on what actually happened. I think that's the proper way to do it.
Yeah, but they updated it with this. So they took that "wasn't a Picasso on the road again" tweet. They updated it with, "Yup, Dolphins win 34-33. What an embarrassment for the Patriots. Gronk as last guy stumbled."
I would have taken out.
So speaking of painting a picture.
Yeah.
Take out really the yup. And say, what an embarrassment for the Patriots and us.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, see, that was nice. A little self-deprecating humor, Lucy.
Right, more embarrassing, our last tweet or the Patriots' effort on the final play.
See, there you go. Yeah. That's what I would have done.
And then toss in how much it costs to subscribe.
By the way, you can get more sweet content like that for $10. Or whatever
it is.
That's
just a thought. It's out there. We've talked about it. I've seen other people talk
about
it.
They even tweeted
as well.
Before the "wasn't a Picasso," they tweeted "ball game." Which is not true.
Which I assume was in the aftermath of the field goal.
It must have been, but it was. I mean, it was not ball game.
They were just letting you know you're watching a ball game.
That one only got one like, the ball game.
That's worse than me.
How about the hot take about the Picasso thing? How'd that do?
I just left it. Oh, there it was only like 160 likes. It's not ideal.
Nah, probably not. 617-779-7937. Carter's in New Hampshire. Hey, Carter.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Great.
Yeah, so I'm just going to bring it up. I think you guys said a little bit ago about how, like, the kickers, they're kind of different year to year. And, yes, I do blame Brady a little bit for, at the halftime, going down like that. I think he should have thrown it away. And, of course, I blame Belichick for the, I don't know why Gronk was on the field and he tripped over himself. But I think we might need a new kicker because it would be one thing if it was, like, one thing, but it's 2 weeks in a row now. I was at the Minnesota game. And he missed a 43-yard field goal. And so that, like, and these are important games. They're not just regular games at the beginning of the season. Like, they're towards the end of the season when not only the Minnesota game was important, but this is one of our rivals, Miami. And
wasn't that also his first miss of less than 50 yards this year? And yesterday was his first extra point miss of the year.
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, it's a downhill spiral. Like, if you start missing, if you do great the entire first three quarters of the season and then the last, like, three games, you miss a bunch. That's still not good because he made a 33-yard field goal yesterday, and he barely made it. He almost hit the flag if you look at the replay. Like, it was maybe like 4 or 5 inches inside of the goalpost.
Yeah, you know what? And we don't talk about him a ton, but he's definitely
really good usually.
But he's also the highest paid kicker in the league.
Yep.
And if we're going to hold other guys to these certain standards and talk about how the Patriots love value and you know how Rob Gronkowski may not be back next year, and one of the main reasons is because of his $12 million cap hit. Well, how can you justify paying the highest paid kicker in the league, and then he's missing kicks in the AFC Championship game, he's missing kicks in the Super Bowl, he's missing kicks in a one-point loss to the Dolphins? So I'm with you, but the only other problem with that is you've seen around the league these teams that have terrible kickers, and when they go to find a new one,
it's not like you go to Kickers R Us.
There's not many of these guys.
Grab some guy who's just going to start nailing them for you.
No, there really isn't. Like, you know, Robbie Gould was a free agent for a little bit. Then he's on with the Niners now, but he's not perfect. Like, he's not. I don't even know if he's an upgrade. So the question will be, I don't know if Gostkowski is a free agent after this year or not, but would they be willing to keep paying him this much if they feel like he's going to miss some big kicks for him?
617-779-7937. Josh's on the cell phone. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
How are you guys doing? Good.
Hey, good. First of all, you guys got the best show around. And also, shout out to Patrick Gilroy at night. That guy never gets any credit, but he does a hell of a job.
Does he deserve a lot of credit?
He's giving him a little shout out there. Why not?
Just wondering. Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this Patrick Gilroy speaking?
Buddy.
Oh, okay.
No, this is not Patrick Gilroy speaking. I just work a lot of overnight, so I get stuck listening.
Fair enough.
Hey, I got a Keithspiracy as to why Gronk was on the field.
Ooh, let's hear it.
You know the Bears game, the Chicago Bears game, they threw the ball up. Bears get it at the one. We're 1 yard away from a touchdown. I bet they put Gronk on there not wanting to because they weren't able to bat the ball down. Belichick's thinking, oh, I'll make sure that I can bat the ball down, and there you go. And then he totally muffed it on his own brain.
And the problem with the conspiracy here is you'd have to have somebody able to throw it 80 yards, 75 to 80
yards. They weren't
and nobody
do that.
Could.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think another part of it is the personnel. Like they don't have a Gronk of their own. like Devontae Parker is tall, but he's never really been able to get, it doesn't feel like, the most out of his potential. But how many guys do they have that you think, it's not like you're playing against Julio Jones or even A.J. Green or Calvin
Josh
Johnson
Gordon.
Back in the day. Or Josh Gordon, right? Like somebody that's just, even if their cover is going to be able to go up and get anybody, their best chance was that kind of play. And where they were on the field, you were set up for that kind of play. Like there should be no scenario. Like, again, Gronk standing on the 15. They're not going to chuck it up to the 15 and then hope that not only does somebody come down with it, but they stay on their feet and they don't get tackled and they scamper into the end zone. There's no way they're going
to
do that.
We don't need a conspiracy theory here to just say they screwed up.
They screwed up.
They had the wrong person on the field. Devin McCourty was the right person to have on the field. It's the only defensive snap he didn't take. And wow. It was the one if he only took one, he should have taken that one.
That was made for him. That was exactly – I definitely needed him
it
on
was
the field.
It was not the scenario. Look, if they needed a 45-yard pass, then okay, yeah. Put Gronk out there. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
They needed a 77-yard pass.
And the worst part of the whole thing is you fast forward another month or so, the AFC Championship game could have been played at Gillette. I know you're still chasing the Chiefs, but they have – games with the Chargers and with the Seahawks in Seattle still on their schedule. So if they lose one of those games because you have the tiebreaker and had the Patriots won out, they would have been at home until Atlanta. And now you're probably going to have to go on the road, and it just feels like it did back in, 15, when they had to go to Denver because they tried to run the ball with Steven Jackson all afternoon against Miami. They lost their minds against Miami, and they didn't have home field throughout. It feels like deja vu on that in that sense.
Brian's on the cell phone. Hey, Brian.
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 I'll put him on hold, Brian. See if you can find him. John's in New Bedford. Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, John.
When I say a lot of people, I'm not talking specifically about you guys, but it seems like the media in general is talking about that last play over and over again. How about the fact that we left 7 points on the field that we shouldn't have even been in that position? Gostkowski, I don't know what happened to that guy, but it's like I'm holding my breath every time he goes to kick now. He's not very consistent. I mean,
we talked about
he actually is very consistent.
That Brady uncharacteristically made a bonehead play when he took the sack when he should have threw it away so they could have got 3 points there. You know, but bottom line is, we shouldn't have even been in that position.
That's true, but they were. I mean, we've kind of gone back and forth. I mean, it did come down to one play at the end, and you're right. They should have had a bigger lead. They should have been up by more than 7 points, but they weren't, and they still should have won the game. It would have been an ugly win, but it was a win, and they let themselves down by having the wrong personnel on the field on the final play. But, yeah, you miss an extra point, you miss a field goal, and then you miss an opportunity for a close field goal. Yeah, that's all part of it. Like, it wasn't –
there's a whole list of things you can be frustrated with.
There's a lot of reasons for it, for sure.
Gronk on the field is at the top of my list, but there are others on there as well. 617-779-7937. Trey Flowers at the top of the hour. James White at about 12:30. All of that still to come here on a Patriots Monday live at Gillette. Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We could spend this show today talking about that play. That's how memorable it was. There are people all over Miami, and especially kids. This is where kids become fans, who will remember the way their parents behaved in the house watching that game, watching the end of that game. And they'll remember it for the rest of their lives. They'll remember it in a way that'll make them sports fans. Just the way that you've probably never seen your parents that happy. You know what I mean? Like, people don't react like that in normal situations to much of anything.
We'll point out that Dan Le Batard lives and works in Miami.
Oh, it's very clear.
So it's a little different take that he might have than what we might have here. We've been playing audio today of, you know, people responding a little differently.
Well, I'll tell you what, the same thing applies. It's just on the other end. Like, in Boston, watching that'll also be memorable to a little kid. And that how much you care about sports and things like that. It's just the other end. And it's actually, plays like that used to be more common for the Boston sports fan than they are now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now you're just so used to it always going your way. So now a play like that is really going to stand out to a kid because you're used to going to another parade to celebrate another championship. But instead, you see it just one of the craziest losses ever.
I should have checked this out, and I'll count on you to bail me out here.
Yeah,
who does Miami play next week? Because I'm picturing them having
a little bit of a letdown,
a hard time. Yeah,
I don't know who they play. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like, you know, Detroit beats the Patriots and then goes down the crapper.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Tennessee, Jacksonville.
Yeah, they all did. They definitely could. I mean, especially with that. Now, the thing that's different is they only have three games left,
right,
and they're fighting for a playoff spot. So maybe they're in a better position to shake it off. I think also we might have to admit that Adam Gase is a pretty good coach, because I don't think they're insanely talented by any means. Like, they have a few players that you might like and might want on your team, but they're not loaded. And he's gotten them to be 7-6 so far. Fluke win or not, I mean, they're 7-6, and they got a chance to be right there with Baltimore and those other teams for the wild card.
617-779-7937. Let's try Brian on the cell phone. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Great.
I was actually calling with a different point, but then you guys started pumping up Gase, and I, full disclosure, I'm a Dolphins fan.
Oh, no, that
fan,
was Keith
not,
pumping up Gase, yeah, not us guys.
What, you don't think he's a good coach?
Yeah.
Really?
This year has made me kind of backtrack, because the only talented player left on offense that's not hurt is Kenyon Drake, and he's pounding the ball with 45-year-old Frank Gore, and that kind of confuses me.
I was saying, Drake actually kind of sucks. I think watching him enough, I think he's not great.
I don't think if you watched him enough, then. I think he's dynamic. But
dynamic? How is he dynamic?
Because you saw what he did with the ball in the open field. He also can catch the ball.
He made Gronk miss. Yeah. I don't. Well, then they should use him more. Then
I agree. That's my problem with Gase. Exactly right. I think that he needs to be used more. But anyway, I think that the one thing that obviously there's a lot of negativity going around, rightfully so. But I think I think Dale said it. Brady looked as best as he's looked all season. Like, he was sharp. The Hogan throw is the only thing. I think the one thing, I think Josh Gordon looks actually healthy for you guys, which is a scary thought. After the catch, he was taken off kind of like back to the Browns days. And that's kind of why I was calling, because, like I said, Gordon finally looked like back to his old self. The offense is clicking, and now it's just a matter of addressing the defense. But
yeah, the defense is weird, because they were coming off two of their better performances all year, maybe their best performance against the Vikings, and then to follow it up with this, that was the weirdest part of the whole game, maybe, was just you expected one thing and got nothing out of the defense. You know, offensively, Brady was great, but it was really Brady was great in the first half, right into the last play. And then the second half, they didn't do much. I agree with them on Josh Gordon, by the way. Gordon's looked good. Drew that huge pass interference
great.
Penalty.
He looked great yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Last couple of games, he's looked really good. You know, after the Tennessee game, where it was like, oh my God, they're just going to force him the ball a million times, the three games since then, he's been really good and really efficient.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Martha's up in Maine. Hi, Martha.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I wanted to say I still think the Pats are really lucky, because I would have bet money that the Steelers would beat them next week, but the Steelers inexplicably lost, and Roethlisberger's probably hurt. And, you know, they're still probably going to get a bye, and honestly, if they were in the AFC West or the NFC West, they wouldn't even be making the playoffs.
Well, they'd make the playoffs. I mean,
their record is good.
They're 9-4. I think they'd make the playoffs, but I get your overall point. I mean, they're lucky in a sense that Pittsburgh lost.
Is this Dan Shaughnessy making this call?
Oh,
disguised as Martha, because
it could be. But
everything always goes the way of the Patriots. Well, except for that last play yesterday.
The last play, but the other teams outside of the Chiefs, it kind of has. Like right now, they could get a first-round bye. They're lined up to have a first-round bye, depending on what happens these final three games. And then
if everything was going the Patriots' way, the Chiefs would have lost in overtime yesterday.
No, I know. That's the one thing that kind of flies in the face of that, because then they would still have a chance of home field throughout. Which I wouldn't rule out, by the way, because what if San Diego or Houston or however it shakes out.
That whole San Diego thing.
L.A.
I know. I do it too, by the way.
What if one of those teams goes into Kansas City and beats them? And then the Patriots win their one home game after the bye. Now they're hosting the AFC Championship game. Then Super Bowl could be back on. But if they have to get on a plane, they're not going anywhere.
Avoid the plane. Take
yeah.
a bus. Take
Stay
a train.
Here. Stay here.
Any of those things. Just try not to get on a plane if you can do that.
Yeah.
I understand.
That's the way to go, I think. So we'll see.
We're going to be joined now by New England Patriots defensive star Trey Flowers. And I just want to thank him for showing up here today, because let's be honest, it's not the cheeriest place I've seen around here.
Oh boy.
Hello, Trey.
Here we go.
How are you?
Is that on?
There we go. Hey, now okay, now we got it.
All right.
Yeah.
Were you in as much shock as the rest of New England at the end of that thing yesterday?
Yeah, it was one of them games that you know, yeah, it was shocking. So just, you know, being out there in the situation, you know, they ran it on the field and it was, yeah, it was tough. But, you know, we got a lot of few games left this season. We got to finish strong. We still got a business to take care of. So, you know, we got to get back to it.
What's the defensive call for the last play? What is the defense you guys were supposed to be in?
I guess, you know, we had like three linemen, and I guess the rest of them, I think another linebacker and the rest was like DBs or so. And
and one tight end.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's for like a jump ball situation or, you know, a Hail Mary situation, I guess. You know, you put, you know, a tall guy out there and knock it down. But, yeah, that's kind of what it was. You know, guard the – I think we was trying to guard, you know, the end zone, obviously. And, yeah.
Now, what – I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a lot of problems with that last play. Did you guys think when you're out there, were you thinking, oh, he's going to chuck it as far as he can? Yeah. Or did you expect one of these lateral type plays?
Man, I couldn't tell you what really to expect. Obviously, you know, they was maybe more prepared than we were in that situation. And, you know, they out hustled us out, you know, worked us and, you know, made a great play. So, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, that we could have got anything. We could have got a, you know, Hail Mary chunk. We could have got, you know, the lateral play. We could have got a whole lot of things. And but just me, as far as in the play, you know, once I'm in the play, I see him kind of lateraling it back. And, you know, I think everybody on there understood, okay, this is the last play. They're going to try to keep lateraling back. And so, you know, people probably got – you know, I know I got caught out of position. Like, I was chasing them, but you didn't want to chase over pursuit. Then he throw it back, and then now you got
to – right, because you do have to cover the whole
field. Yeah, yeah. So you kind of was playing like that. And, you know, it's one of the things, like in basketball, you know, you guarding the pass, but nobody really stopping the ball. So, you know, I think we kind of overplayed the lateral, and, you know, he made a play. So, yeah.
I agree with what you said that you guys kind of got out hustled on that last play. I think that's good self analysis on your part.
Yeah.
How the hell can that happen though?
Yeah, like I said, man, it's, you know, it's last play. I think, you know, I think I'm just speaking as far as from my standpoint. You know, I was running and then you kind of slow down to kind of, you know, play the pitch and play the lateral, but then now he running some more, and then, you know, we just got caught out of position. And, you know, I think, you know, as I saw it or as I was in it, I ain't really saw it on film, but as I was in it, I just kind of felt like, you know, we was maybe playing the lateral a little bit too much. And, you know, he just faked the lateral and then kept the ball and made a play. So it was just one of those deals where, you know, NFL, it's a lot of great players out there. So
now, was your responsibility on that initially to get a pass rush on Tannehill so he doesn't have all day? Is that the first thing you're supposed to do?
Yeah. That's you know, the my initial responsibility. You know, break the pocket, get him out of the pocket. You know, somebody else come and, you know, tackle him or whatever. But and then after he threw it, then now, you know, I got to run and pursue and things like that. So. You know, it was just it was a tough play, but you know, I can't let that define our season. We got a few games left to take care of business, and you know that's what we plan on doing. So,
I'm a little confused by. I was here for the Minnesota game where I thought you guys played great defensively.
Yeah.
I thought you tackled well. I thought your defense was good. I saw you play against a team yesterday that I don't think is as good offensively as the Vikings are.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those things. How does that happen?
Yeah, it's NFL. You know, you got to bring your best each and every week. And when you don't, you kind of, you know, you get exposed. So, obviously, you know, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of, you know, things to go over, a lot of folks and up to do. And, you know, it's, like I said, any given Sunday, I mean, you got to be able to bring your A game. You know, you got to – just because you did it last week don't automatically mean you're going to do it this week. So you got to continue to bring it. You know, people play hard, and it's the NFL. You know, you're going to get some great teams, and, you know, if you don't bring it, you're going to get exposed. So, yeah.
What is it about Miami or at Miami?
Yeah.
Because you guys have some incredible records against everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you play, but at Miami has been a big-time issue.
I mean, I couldn't tell you. I don't know if it's, you know, a lot of people probably say it's the weather or it's the – you know, whatever, late in the season. I don't know, whatever you want to chalk it up, but, you know, bottom line, it's still football. So it's just out executing, out physical, out hustle, out work, whatever. You know, it's all those things, that the intangibles as far as football, you know, that they do at home or they do whenever we're there, they do late in the season, however you want to put it. You know, it's just – you know, any given Sunday. So, you know, you, like I said, you go in there and, you know, think you're just going to, you know, they're going to bow down to you or they're going to play the same way they played when they was up here. You know, you're going to be wrong. You got to bring it every Sunday. So, you know, it's just, you know, the NFL is good teams out there. And you got to play hard.
I think you guys had the season high for sacks yesterday.
Yeah.
Your defense did.
Uh-huh.
Making me wonder if sacks really matter all that much.
Yeah, you know, that's just the kind of game it was. I mean, we had, two punt blocks, you know, sacks and things like that. But like you said, the last play of the game, you can't, you know, everything that happened prior to that last play, you know, doesn't matter. They still had opportunity. You know, they executed on their opportunity and made the play. So, you know, nah, the numbers don't equate to winning and losing. The only thing that equates to winning and losing is the score. So, you know, you had all the sacks in the world, but if you can't stop the run, which, you know, we had a hard time yesterday, you know, it doesn't mean too much. So, yeah.
Now, not to make excuses because both teams had to play on it, but from watching it on TV, the field looked terrible.
Yeah.
Like, was it tough to get footing?
Nah, I mean, not for me. I probably fell a few times, but, you know, that's, you know. It's
normal.
Yeah, it ain't too much of, you know, not for me. I mean, you know, you got skilled guys that, you know, do the breakdown and got footing issues, things like that. But for me, it wasn't, you know.
Not that big a deal.
Nah, it wasn't that bad. So.
How do you put this one in the rearview mirror?
Yeah.
Because you've got a tough road game next week in Pittsburgh.
You know, you got to understand that what we did to – get in that position as far as everything that probably happened before, you know, the play that everybody probably going to remember, you know, everything, just the whole game, you know, as far as not stopping the run or, you know, not being physical, all the, you know, little things that, you know, hurt us throughout the game. And you just kind of correct those, understand that how teams going to attack us, understand, you know, what's going to continue to show up because we haven't done well against it. So, you know, just put it all, you know, take all the criticism, you know, the coaching, the lessons and things like that, and, you know, just go into the new week knowing that, you know, whatever happened last week doesn't matter. You know, we still got a chance to, you know, be where we want to be. So we got to continue to work hard for something. Yeah.
Finally, before we let you go,
yeah,
we congratulated you last week, birth of your brand new child.
Yeah.
You sort of undersold it. You helped deliver the child, for crying out loud.
I mean, nah.
You were like there with your catcher's mitt or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was, it was a crazy situation. I had, I was the only person. Well, me and my mom was the only people in the room at the time when, you know, the head popped out. So yeah, I was kind of just back there, like ready to, you know, if she pushed again, then I would have had to catch it. But you know,
was that the craziest moment of your whole life?
Yeah, it was. I didn't realize, you know, how crazy it was until obviously after, because, you know, during it I was just so focused as far as like I gotta be able to catch it. You know, my mama yelling, she yelling for the nurses. I really couldn't really hear because I was just, you know, so locked in and focused. And you know, then after the fact, I'm like, man, that was That's not really how it's supposed to go.
But,
oh,
it's not.
But,
not if you're in a hospital. Yeah, I mean, yeah. if you're in the back seat of your car on your way to the hospital, it's different. Yeah.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, it's a story that, you know, I'm remembering. I'm probably going to tell her when she grow up. And, it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
This memory of that will be better than the memory of yesterday.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
We always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Trey Flowers brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance here on Sports Radio WEEI.